Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of the CorporateCounsel.net. I'm here today with John Pelissa, who is managing partner of Pelissa Partners. John is a fellow blogger. He's been doing a great job on his investor relations musings blog, and he's also the only person teaching at an MBA level in investor relations course, as John is a former IR manager, both from Walgreens and the restaurant company Sysco, and now he's managing partner of his own, Pelissa Partners. And so I thought I'd spend a few minutes talking with John about IR fundamentals, because I noted on his blog, I read the other day that he's actually having a seminar later this month on February 24th entitled Fundamentals in Investor Relations. And I know a lot of us out there need this kind of background, particularly more and more as shareholder relations are becoming just critically important. Important to get directors reelected, and it's just really, I think, hitting the crux this year of changes needed within companies to handle the oncoming onslaught, particularly this proxy season. So, you know, go to John's blog. You can link to it from where you link to this podcast and check that out. But the first question for you, John, that was a long introduction, is I always, you know, I'm a novice about IR myself, and I always thought it was like advertising, very difficult to measure its impact. How do the IR pros tend to gauge, you know, their performance, what the investor relations department does?
Thanks, Brock. You're right. It is very difficult to measure investor relations impact and separate it away from earnings and mandated disclosures. Most IR practitioners try to do it in a number of ways. They do peer comparisons. They look at peer groups. They look at stock price performance. They look at their relative performance against not just peer group companies, but companies that have similar investment profiles. But at the end of the day, it's somewhat unsatisfying. The ideal would be if there were two companies that were exactly the same in exactly the same markets, and one engaged in minimal disclosure and the other engaged in full-fledged investor relations activities, then you could measure the one against the other and get a good benchmark. But unfortunately, we don't have that in the real world. So in my review of the academic research, what I've found is, although it's the research is somewhat sparse here, there have been some attempts to place some value on investor relations activity. So just to continue along those lines, the research sort of divides into three streams. There's one stream that looks at improved disclosure, and it finds that improved disclosure lessens the cost of capital, lessens volatility, lowers bid-ask spreads, but then it makes the inference that better disclosure comes from better investor relations types of activities, but it doesn't make a direct tie. There is a second single study that was done a year ago by a professor, Taffler, out of the University of Edinburgh's Business School. And that one directly tied investor relations activities to stock market performance, or stock price performance, I should say. And what Professor Taffler found is that he measured those companies that had been nominated for IR Magazine's Best in IR Practices over a three-year period, and it covered about 1,000 companies. And so it was pretty broad-based. And at the end of the study, what the conclusion was is that good IR practices led to outperformance by a company's stock in the year following the year they were nominated. In other words, after the nomination, because they may have been nominated in the first place because their stock was performing well. But for the year afterwards, they found that there was about a 80 basis points per month outperformance of that stock. So if you compound that out over a year, that's about a 10% outperformance. And then the third stream of the research that I found is there's a research company called Revel Research out of Westport, Connecticut, that has done a couple of studies interviewing buy-side and sell-side analysts. And what they have found is a strikingly similar result, that both buy and sell side analysts say that, in their opinion, good investor relations can add as much as 10% to the price performance of a stock over time. So that's a quick overview of what I found.
Well, so don't earnings and other financial measures determine pretty much the stock price of a company?
Well, of course, yes. Mm-hmm. The market is efficient for the most part. But what I think gets lost in the shuffle sometimes is that markets are only efficient about information that they receive. So the efficient market hypothesis that every business school student learns in their first year basically says that the market rapidly incorporates widely distributed information. But the catch is, if the information is not widely distributed, the market does not react efficiently to it. So the role of investor relations, therefore, is to make the markets more efficient by distributing more information. Now, I realize that you and many of your listeners are probably coming at this from a legal perspective, and you say, well, wait a minute, there's all these mandated disclosures, and that's what the market is reacting to. And that's mostly correct, but there's a lot of things that investor relations does that takes disclosure beyond what's mandated and sort of opens the kimono, if you will, a little bit for investors as to what's going on in the company. Some of that, for example, is if you have a great management team, mandated disclosures, if your SEC filings aren't going to be able to show that you've got a great management team except through long-term earnings. But if you take them out to analyst meetings and conferences and you get more than just a single man on a horseback to present to investors, they can see that you've got a great team. So that's just one example of how investor relations goes beyond just mandated disclosures to help make the market more efficient.
Well, this definitely could be an all-day topic. I mean, you have such a wealth of knowledge. I know those of us in the legal field, both in firms and in-house, really need to bone up on this topic, because I think it's becoming more and more important. So I thank you for spending your time with us, and good luck with your seminar later this month.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having me, Brock.